Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Just have faith in yourself that you can do it. Sure, you'll feel frightened, but you know you can push through that fear and you can succeed. Just go for it.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with Claire Monkley, successful property investor and mortgage broker of the company Love Finance. Find out how to form good relationships with real estate agents, how Claire Monkley helps her clients choose properties and select the right lender, and so much more. Monkley has built two properties on a large block of land and talks a little bit about the returns it is yielding.
It's probably about a 6.5 because the rents, because the mining downturn, you know, the rents came down. However, my real estate agent has just said to me that she thinks that they can go up $40 a week once these tenants go out, because what has happened and what does happen in these particular town sometimes is because of the downturn, people don't build. And then if this town happens to pick up again, then there's not enough houses, there's not enough supply for people to go in. And that's what's actually happening in Mudgee. But I'm not recommending everybody run out and buy in Mudgee. I'll say that. But this is what I'm seeing, and this is what I've got a great real estate agent out there. She's always looked after the properties, and that's a key as well. Again, part of your team, having really good real estate agents that you know are looking after that property like it's their own, because I can't be running to properties all around, you know, two states to make sure that they're getting looked after. So I would rather pay that little bit extra to have a good property manager, because that is absolute key to it, I believe.
Monkley elaborates on the importance of forming good relationships with real estate agents when you're in the property business, and provides a tip for those who are looking to get into property themselves.
When I first started helping my clients buy investment properties, I used to go to open houses every Saturday, and I got to meet a lot of real estate agents, and I said, look, I'm not looking for myself, you know, but I've got a client that wants X, Y, Z. And that, honestly, having that relationship with the real estate agents is fantastic, because that's how I ended up with the one at, the one I put the granny flat on the back of, because he phoned me and said, Claire, this is a deceased estate. It's coming up. This is the price point, you know, they're going to put it on for. And I still bought it. It still got listed, because he was doing obviously the right thing by his client, but he knew what I was looking for. So that's how I come to get that property. As soon as it was listed, I was able to make an offer and they accepted it. And, just went on to, you know, get the granny flat started. This is one tip I would like to give your listeners, is do it quickly. I sort of, sat back a little bit and just, you know, twiddled my thumbs for a little while and thought, oh, yeah, it'll happen. But, you know, because life gets busy, you know, I was running a business but I should have probably started that granny flat 6 months sooner than I did, because it would have been done faster, pretty much. That's the only reason. and it's never not been rented. Like, it's just people, it is a really lovely little granny flat, and people, and again, we paid, I know you can get granny flats for 100 grand, 95,000. As I said, we paid 128. We just made it that little bit nicer. And, we've had people actually, the tenants that are in it now have been, they've got the garden beautiful. It's like their home. they just absolutely love it. Yeah, it's amazing.
With the knowledge that every person is different, Monkly does not use a cookie-cutter approach when it comes to finding property for her clients and implements a tool to calculate things.
What I look for my clients is, first of all, if I'm aware that they've got some equity and they're thinking about doing something, or even if they're not thinking about doing something, I try and be proactive and, you know, say, look, you've got some equity in your property. Have you thought about, you know, what your next step might be, what your next stage in life might be? And, you know, and then that's when I talk about investment property. But I talk about the education first, because they, you know, I think that's just so imperative that they understand why they're doing what they're doing and how that can help them achieve their goals. So one of the tools I have is a calculator that actually shows if you purchase one investment property and you can put in what your existing debt is, what your interest rate is, and if you purchase just one investment property, when the point of payoff can be. So in other words, if you are paying off your mortgage and you've got an investment property and it's growing at a certain rate over a certain amount of time, when is that payoff point when you can sell that investment property, should you choose to, and pay off your mortgage so you have no more owner-occupied debt? So that's a really, really great tool that I sit with my clients, and then they understand the power of what just one property can do for them. But the important thing is for them is to know where to buy. And again, as I said, education. So I've partnered with the largest research company in Australia, and that's where I get my education from, and that's where my clients get their education from. And then once they're sort of comfortable and clear and understand what it is that they can do themselves personally, then that's when we look for an investment property that fits their needs. So it's not about going, oh yeah, this is going to be a great development and it's, you know, it's just here and think you should get that. Well, no, that mightn't fit into what is the client's best strategy for where they want to go down the track. So that's the difference. It's just not cookie cutting. It's looking at each individual person, because we're all different. We all want different things at different times. And yeah, so that's how I help my clients.
Fantastic. That is really, really good strategy. And I think that's, you know, your clients probably take on that very, very well, because it's simple, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you're doing, Tyrone. You're educating your audience, you know, by doing this. And so you understand, you know, more than most how important education is.
Yeah, I kind of did this podcast intentionally to want to educate myself as well, because I was wanting to learn. And I think the best thing I think I gained out of it was to be able to speak to experts who've been there, done that, and have the experience, and just tap on their shoulder and say, look, can you just share all this? And I thought, why not just share it as well with the world? Because if I'm asking those questions, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would be asking the same things. So it turned into the podcast. So.
Well, thank you for bringing that to the world, because I think it's just, you know, we're not taught these things in school. I don't know if we ever will be, but it's common sense that we need, particularly in this, you know, day and age, that we need to be looking towards how we're going to support ourselves in our retirement. I had a client in here yesterday, and I have another particular type of calculator that, you know, I asked the clients how much they feel they would like to retire on. And then we put in where their debt level is, if they've got investment properties, what's in their super, you know, and I do all of that. And then yesterday, and they didn't put in a big figure for what they wanted for their income in retirement, but they are $581,000 short of the figure that they need. So the education now is, okay, what is the strategies that we're going to do to get you to that point of where you want to be? Now, some people think, oh, we don't need a lot of money, you know, when we retire. You know, we own a house, we don't need a lot of money. Well, I was talking to another client that was in the office recently, and she said that they had worked out that their fixed costs, so they own their own home, their fixed costs per week are $560. That's their groceries, their gas, their electricity, their mobile phone, their water, you know, house insurance. They're things that you can't change your fixed costs unless you downsize into a smaller property or turn your lights off a bit more. I don't know. But, you know, when you work that out, you know, that's $29,000 a year just for everyday living. Sure, not everyone might have that high figure, but when you think that, I think the figure's about 84% of Australians are retiring on about $21,000, that's $29,000 just for those people, just in their fixed costs, without having a holiday or without going to the doctor or going to the dentist or, you know, something like that. So we really, really need to be thinking about how we want to live our life in retirement. And I think for me, property is that tool. That's my strategy, and that's what I, you know, like to share with my clients.
Monkley cites some reasons for the fact that she decided to invest in property rather than other investments such as shares.
I did have some money in some shares, and I don't understand shares. And I know this, I've got friends that make, I've seen them make a lot of money and I've seen them lose a lot of money, a bit like property as well. But I suppose for me, for property, I understand it. I get it. It's bricks and mortar. You can touch it. I think too, and again, this is only in my head. So I, you know, there could be a shares guy out there that could give you a whole different strategy on it. But in my way of thinking, you know, I know a lady that lost millions in the share market, literally millions of dollars, and it was gone. But I think if I've still got a house, sure, I might have to reduce the rent and the value might come down for a little bit, but I've still got a house. And I, to me, that makes more sense. As I said, that's just my personal view, and that's why I've done property. You know, I just love it. Hence why I love finance. I just love I love what money can do for you to get more property. Yeah, and that's where the name came from. That's why I called my company Love Finance.
When it comes to finding the right lender for her clients, it's like having a lot of jigsaw puzzles that she has to fit together, where she has to match up the client with the right lender.
It's moving parts, you know, and it's the, for me, it's knowing the policies of the different lenders that you can fit within the parameters of those policies to put your clients there. I'll give you an example. I've got a client who has wanted to borrow an extra $1 million. I have been working on this loan for 7 months. So those that think mortgage brokers don't earn their money, I can tell you we do. So 7 months. And why that has taken so long is because, one, all the changes have been happening, as we know, around finance. But he's a certain age. He's got a certain debt level. He has a certain income level. And all of those things didn't fit one bank's policy at the time. I had to keep looking, keep researching. I, you know, would become accredited with, you know, a different lender. I did actually become accredited with a different lender because he fitted well with their policy, and they were on our panel, but I just hadn't become accredited with them. And I did that and policy changed. And this is the thing, policy changes. And so the people, if they say, look, you know I can do that now, but, you know, I think I might wait for 6 or 12 months. He waited. He waited 3 months. Policy changed. I couldn't get in the money. So that's what you have to be careful of, is policy changing. And that's why it's really great to use brokers, because we do have so many different lenders, as you are aware of, and you're not just going to one bank trying to fit all those different elements into their policy. Does that make sense? You know, like, so the lender that I've now got him approved with, he fits in their age policy, he fits in their DSR, so their debt level, and he fits within their LVR, so their loan to value ratio. So I had to get all those components to work for this client, but there was a few other complexities in there as well. But definitely for me, because I know those different things, that has helped me be able to buy more property. Because I know in my head, okay, I'm not going to fit there with that lender to buy that property because my debt level is too high to go with them. So then I have to look for another lender that's going to use more of my rental income. You know, some banks use 75% of the rental income, some use 80. So it's finding the bank then that I fit into the other policies, plus that perhaps might take that higher rental return that I can use for my servicing. If that makes sense, I hope I'm not making that too complicated.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into the mentor that helped her greatly along her property journey.
I learned so much from my first boss, and that was a broker, and he really allowed me to be involved. Although I was his PA, he would get me sitting in on the meetings, and that's how I started to learn the strategies.
The best advice she has ever received.
Again, I hope my mother doesn't hear this, but he didn't. And I won't tell you what he used to say because it's not very nice. So I have doubted myself for many, many years.
What she's looking forward to most in the next 5 or so years?
I've just bought a property in Queensland, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with that, because I know I'm just wondering whether I should buy some more up there, because I've just been told the Catholic Church has bought all the land across the road from it.
And that's next. I'm Taran Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Along her property journey, Monkley has had a mentor that stood out for her in addition to attending courses and reading books.
I learned so much from my first boss, and that was a broker, and he really allowed me to be involved. Although I was his PA, he would get me sitting in on the meetings, and that's how I started to learn the strategies. Sorry, excuse me. The strategies in my mind. My first mentor was my boss, who was a mortgage broker. And as I said, he allowed me to sit in on the meetings, and that's how I learnt what he learnt. To the point then he actually rang me one day and he said to me, and again, I'll never forget this, he rang me, it was a Sunday, and he said, "I'm just phoning up to tell you I'm sacking you." And I was like, "What? You know, I'm a single mother, just bought my first investment property, you're sacking me?" You know, it's going on my head. He went, "Yes, I've just left some clients and they've told me that they don't really need to speak to me anymore because, you know, you're so good at helping them that they don't need to see me." And he was tongue-in-cheek, of course. But he said, "I just want to thank you for looking after my clients so well." He said, "For someone to say that to me," he said, "you know, I'm just grateful that you work for me and you're in my business." So I knew at that point that I'd probably, you know, I'd reached a really good level of learning. So from there, I did go on and do a number of courses. I've done, you know, Laurel Langmire, who came out from America. I did her course, and I've done, you know, Dipner's course. I've done lots of constantly doing different types of courses. Steve McKnight, you know all those people that have done all that. Read all the books. Absolutely, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, what a phenomenal book that was, and is, still is today. Been down and seen Robert and Kim present on stage, you know, to learn their strategies. So, you know, I've invested a lot of time and money into what I know, you know, the knowledge in my head and that I share with clients, that a lot of my clients don't have the time or the money to do that. So they're actually getting that through me. They're getting that education through me.
Monkley then mentions a book she has read, which she feels is one of her most favorite books that she has stumbled across her journey.
I think a book called The Leap of Faith. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's a little paperback book. And if you're thinking you want to make a change in your life and you're too scared to take that step, read that book called The Leap of Faith. It's called The Big Leap. Beg your pardon. It's called The Big Leap. Have you read it, Tyrone?
So I'm actually just searching it right now just to see Oh, here we go. Yep. The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Fabulous book. I go back to it many times. It's a really good book. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, as I've said, I think that's a, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that's a great book. And I tell you another book that's really good, and love him or hate him, but Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump co-authored a book together. Do you know that book? It's called The Midas Touch.
Yep, I do remember that one. I've read it too. Yeah, I did. It was very good. I mean, I was inspired because one of the two wealthiest and best educators in the world come together. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I had to read it, even though Trump, you know, has a little bit of a character behind him. It's still someone that you got to admire because he's built such a big empire. Now the president, there's something that he's done right to get to where he is.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that's interesting in that book is Robert Kiyosaki. Now, we know he's, you know, a wealthy man in his own right. When you read the beginning of his story in that book and talks about his first meeting with Donald Trump and how his confidence is rattled because he's thinking, why does this successful man want to meet with me? So I found that extremely interesting, and how that is a good point for us to learn that it doesn't matter how successful you are, sometimes people do doubt themselves. And often we ourselves, you know, do the same thing. And I think we think that people that are at that level don't. And it's nice to know that they're human as well. And I think that's, you know, to me, I was impressed by that, that one, he wasn't too frightened to share that he was feeling a little bit, you know, intimidated is not probably the word, but not as confident as you would have expected him to be, and that he shared that. And that shows, you know, his vulnerable side. And I think that's just nice to know that he is human, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what I love about Robert, in the sense that he's able to share that, because when you share that real side of yourself, it makes it more believable, and therefore it's much more interesting to read. Whereas if it was just all great hoo-ha and happy things, I think people would just brush over and go, oh, you know, that doesn't appear to be real. And that's, I think, the key component of where successful entrepreneurs is, just to be open about their failures and also successes, and be able to share their mistakes and learnings from it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
For Monkley, the best advice she has ever received was something she had to work for, as she grew up in an environment where possessing this trait wasn't encouraged.
My father was a very tough man, and my father did not really believe that females should be educated. Again, I hope my mother doesn't hear this, but he didn't. And I won't tell you what he used to say, because it's not very nice. So I have doubted myself for many, many years, and I know you have Jill McIntyre on your calls, on your podcast, and Jill and I have known each other for many years, goodness me, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years, something like that, and she has been someone that has helped me when I've been having a moment, because, you know, I ring her and she'll talk me through it. It is very challenging when you are trying to, and this is only me coming from the background with my dad, that you still hear that, you're just a girl. You know, my father's words to me were, when I separated from my husband, was, you'll be nothing without him. You know, he was the making of you. That's pretty hard. And then to go on and struggle, and I'm actually can't believe I'm a bit emotional about it, but it was hard. Those first few years was hard, and but I've come through it, you know, and I've survived it. But I think definitely having faith in yourself and having that courage to take that step to achieve what you want to achieve is one of the best things that you can do for yourself, really. You know, take that big leap, go for it. I know people might think, you know, that was horrible, but, and it was horrible. It was horrible, you know, but my father had a pretty hard background as well, you know. So I think, I often wonder if he'd just given us a tiny bit of encouragement, how much further we might have been, you know. I just, but anyway, he's passed away now, and And Mum says he was proud of all of us. He just never told us. So please tell your children you're proud of them, you know. Tell my children all the time I'm so proud of them, you know, because it's so important to do that. Because we all want that recognition from our parents, I believe, you know.
If Monk Lee could speak to herself 10 years ago, she would have this to say.
I've been fortunate to, you know, there's been tough times, but, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be voted to be president of our local business chamber, one of our local business chambers here in Newcastle, and I've done that for 4 years. I've been fortunate enough that I've met somebody in America that has helped me buy investment properties over there. I can't believe the things that I have done when I think, and I say this to myself, you know, when I'm sitting in a boardroom with, you know, I'm a bit lost for words, you know, boardroom with people from the Port of Newcastle and, you know, different big companies like that. And I have to pinch myself because I go, how did this little country girl get to be sitting in this room with these people? You know, it's just blows my mind that that can happen to me, you know, a little country bumpkin, if you want to say, and to be in a space of some amazing people, you know, and meet some amazing people. And to say to myself, you know, meet myself 10 years ago and say to that girl, golly, Claire, you can do whatever you want to do. Just have faith in yourself that you can do it. Sure, you'll feel frightened, but, you know, you can push through that fear and you can succeed. Just go for it.
In terms of what she's most looking forward to in her property journey, Monk Lee states that she's wondering whether she should buy some more properties in the near future.
I'm contemplating what I'm going to do. I just bought a property in Queensland, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with that, because I know I'm just wondering whether I should buy some more up there, because I've just been told the Catholic Church has bought all the land across the road from it. Yeah, so it's kind of, I bought it, came back a little, or hasn't really done too much in the couple of years I've had it, but I think it's going to go crazy. So my property journey, I'm a bit stumped at the moment because of my borrowing capacity, believe it or not. And here's another little secret, my age. So this is what, if people think they can put it off and, you know, wait till put it in the, you know, to-do later list. Banks now, once you turn 40, banks now want to know what your exit strategy is, right? How are you going to pay that mortgage off in this amount of time? Whereas 2 years ago, you could be 60 and still get a 30-year loan. They weren't asking about your exit strategy. Now, I'm talking investment properties here as well. You know, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, again, back to the client that wants another $1 million. He has got so many properties with so much equity. They're still asking what's his what is his exit strategy. Okay, what are you talking about? He's got this amount of million equity. Is that not an exit strategy, you know? But it's because he's wanting to buy an owner-occupied home for $1 million, and, you know, that's what they're looking at. But I can't, you know, go into what his stuff is, but he's got a great exit strategy, and that's what's frustrating him, and it's been frustrating me until we finally found a lender that he fits into all those policies. But that's the thing, I think, is, you know, it's if you haven't got any investment properties yet and you're sort of getting close to that 40 mark, I'll be saying start getting some under your belt. So my journey for me is I'm going to work out, is it best to sell a couple of my properties to perhaps go on, buy some land and build another couple?
I asked Monk Lee whether her success is due to skill, intelligence and hard work, or just plain luck.
I can't say any of it's been luck. I don't know that any of it's been luck. I've really bought property on my gut instinct, to be perfectly honest. Is that luck? Yeah, maybe it is actually, but I've just had a gut feeling, and that's when I have purchased property. And so maybe I have been lucky because I haven't strategically planned it. So yes, you're right. It's probably a lot of luck. Skill in my education, listening to other people, hear what they've done, see if I can do, replicate what they've done. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Somebody else has already done it. So it's just listening to what their strategies are. I think that's important. But definitely, I know I keep harping on it, but it's definitely the education, because it's just running through my head all the courses that I have done. And as much as you think, oh, has that impacted greatly as well? Of course it has. You know, I'm thinking, no, it hasn't, but of course it has. You know, it's just, I can just run through a strategy. I'm thinking now that I heard, you know, in Laurel Langmire's course, and I'm like, yeah, I remember her talking to me, you know, talking to us about that, and I've done that strategy. So I think, yeah, it's probably, yeah, let's say it's probably, I'll go 50-50, because I can't really tell you what I think it is. So let's, it's like hedging your bets with fixed rates, isn't it? When people aren't sure what to do, go, oh, fix 50% of it, and I'll do 50% variable. I think, I do think probably more has to do with my intuition. So probably good luck. Yeah. Good luck with where I've bought, what I've done. I've been careful. You know, some people say to me, Claire, you got more, the word is they use, you got more guts than me. I wouldn't do that. And I just go, well, one of my fears is not having enough when I retire. So I'm more fearful of not having what I want to retire on than what I am fearful of not taking that step. See, so to me, it's worse if I don't take the step, because I'm scared of what those consequences will be. I'm more scared of that than I am of taking the step.
One of the reasons Monkley has invested in property is to have enough money for retirement, which she shares why.
I don't want to be a burden on my children. You know, I had this conversation with a lady actually on Wednesday night, and she said, Claire, I'm married, I've got three children. My mother's been divorced for many, many years, and her mother actually isn't that much older than me, to be honest. And she said, I've told her she's got to make sure she's got her, you know, retirement plan sorted, because she said, I can't have her as a burden on me. She said, because I can't afford that financially. And that's how I feel about my children. I don't want to be a burden on my children, you know, so I want to make sure they mightn't get a lot of money when I'm gone, but at least I haven't had to say to them, I can't afford this, can't afford that, and can't afford that. And all them feeling like, because I can't afford something, they've got to pay for me to, you know, go on a holiday with them, or, you know, pay me not to go on a holiday with them, who knows. But, you know, that's my driver. It's not about the money, it's about the choices that having the money can give you is what's important to me.
If you'd like to contact Claire Monkley to learn more about her story or help with finance, you can reach her on the following.
They could email me at Claire, C-L-A-R-E, at lovefinance.net.au, or they could call me on my mobile, which is 0418-299-370. I also have a website, so they could go there, which is www.lovefinance.net.au.
Thank you to Claire Monkley, our guest on this episode of Property Invest Story. If you want to hear more about her journey, then visit our website at propertyinveststory.com.au.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.